you would just bow your heads for a quick minute. Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord, and we love you on today. Thank you for our youth, Lord. Thank you that they're in church this morning. Somebody say amen. Thank you that they have a heart to serve and a heart to share. Thank you for the youth leaders, Raymond and Brandy, Lord, which do an outstanding job week after week, teaching and training and listening, loving and praying and caring for our youth, Lord. So we just thank you for all the youth here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. Thank you for all the families, Lord. Bless this special Youth Sunday, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, dying, broken, and decaying world. Speak to us now, Lord. Speak loud and clear through your word. We need to hear you, God. So much going on in the world today, Lord. We need to hear from you. So, Holy Spirit, lead, guide, take over. Thank you for what you've already done in the Sunday school classes and in the worship. Thank you for clarity and peace and confirmation during the worship, Lord. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. So we open our hearts and minds to receive what the Word of God is speaking to us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you take a look at Daniel chapter 6, so I try and get my microphone and everything together. We have Daniel being put over the whole realm, the whole kingdom. We've been following Daniel since he was a youth, since they were brought into captivity. Now he's a young man. We pick up the narrative in chapter 6. Verse 1, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account. Somebody underline account unto them, that the king should not suffer any damage or any loss. Then Daniel was preferred. Daniel was distinguished above. So make a note, Daniel was distinguished. And what distinguished him was because, as we read, above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit, underline there was an excellent spirit. We know that to be the Holy Spirit was in Daniel. So the king thought to set him over the whole kingdom realm, and the Hebrew is kingdom. So make a note, here's the first revelation, that when you take a stand as a youth, God will elevate you to stand out as an adult. Let me say it again, youth, and for those of us that are trying to take a stand. When you take a stand as a youth, as we see with Daniel's life, the progression of Daniel's life, God elevate him to stand out as an adult because he took a stand as a youth. He never compromised. He never wavered. Not to say that he didn't have issues, he didn't have struggles, he didn't have ups and downs, but he stayed connected and committed to God his entire life through it all. Somebody say amen. So as we're reading, we see that the king, he set these leaders in charge. They all have titles. He set them in charge over his kingdom so he wouldn't suffer loss. There was accountability. Make a note, family, that we serve a God of order. We serve a God of decency. We serve a God of details. So make a note of that. Order, decency, details, and accountability. So to ask the question, who are you accountable to and who is accountable to you? Make a note of it. Who are you accountable to? We're all accountable to God, so that's a given. Somebody say amen. That's a given. But then who are you accountable to so you don't get caught up in the wrong things, or the wrong things get caught up for you? We all have to be accountable to someone. So we see in the natural and the practical sense, the king sets up a level of accountability so the kingdom doesn't fall apart. Men, we have to be accountable to each other. We have to have somebody to be accountable to so our homes don't fall apart. So our jobs and businesses don't fall apart because we're staying lined up with what God would have us to do. It says Daniel was distinguished above the presidents and princes. Underline that when you translate that into Hebrew. He was preferred. He was distinguished among the president and governors. So men, as men of God, we're preferred higher than the president. Somebody say amen. You worried about the president. God is worried about you and I getting ourselves together. That's why he tells us to pray for all those in authority, because we're actually higher than them in God's eyes. Amen. So we don't complain about them. We don't complain about what's... If we do what we're supposed to do, God makes the change. God responds to righteousness and repentance. Amen. So he said, Daniel was preferred above the president. Right? Why are you worried about him? When you lined up with what God has for you, God takes care of you. Amen. And the governors. I love that. And then look, as we get into the last part of verse 3, look what sets the standards and makes the difference, the Holy Spirit. There was an exceeding spirit in Daniel that distinguished him from everybody else. We know that to be the Holy Spirit. So let's just take a quick look. Let's go to who's with me this morning? Dominique, take us to Galatians 5:22. The word says that we've been filled with the Holy Spirit and we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So all the things that was in Daniel, the same things through the Holy Spirit should be in us. That distinguishes us. Daniel was elevated because of God. Family, we don't have to go to our job and try and manipulate and lie and steal and cheat to get a promotion. We don't have to do any of that. All we have to do is stay true to God, live through the Holy Spirit, and it'll be noticed. If you're Galatians 5:22, say amen. If you're not there, say hold up. I'll say it, hold up. I'm not. Okay, I'm there now. Underline, it says, but the fruit. Underline, it's not fruits, it's fruit. So everything that it is one spirit that's in you and I, that should be you and I, that is displayed through love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's what the king saw in Daniel and said, I want you to rule everything. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. I want you to rule everything. That's what Daniel displayed from day one, being filled by God. So let me just break it down really quickly for you. The love, which is the agape love, which is unconditional. Joy is the calm delight, cheerfulness, and gladness. And I made a note of this, family. I'm not saying you walk around with a smile on your face like everything's good and you have no issues. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about denial, that you live in some alternate reality that everything is all good. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, when you trust and you're connected to God daily, it makes a difference in your life and it's noticeable. When you allow the Holy Spirit to live and work through you, it's noticeable. And these are the characteristics you display: the love, the joy, the gladness, the peace. Peace says quietness, rest, and harmony. Blessed. Just think about that one. If we could display that in our homes, on the job, somebody say amen. In the church, if we could just display that one in the church. It's a certain amount of rest that comes with God, where you just don't have to worry about certain things. Amen? And harmony. It should be harmony coming out of you. For those of us that are married, it should be harmony when we're both operating with the Holy Spirit. As I'm reading this, of course, you know, I'm checking myself. Long-suffering, make a note of this, long-suffering is patience and endurance and perseverance. Let me say it again. Everybody underline long-suffering. Patience, endurance, and perseverance. All the parents said amen. Amen. Let me see, honey, if you have kids. Let me see, honey, if you ever seen a kid. Underline that one, parents. How many of you have a spouse? How many of you ever seen a spouse? Spouses, underline that one. Amen. Then we have gentleness. Look at what gentleness says. Definition of gentleness in the Greek. Usefulness, integrity, moral excellence, kindness. I mean, just one of these is blowing me away. I mean, but we're supposed to operate with all of these. Is what distinguished Daniel is what will distinguish you and I. I have a note in here that says, how is your kindness meter? How is your kind? Just being kind. Family, do you know how far a little bit of kindness goes? Just being kind to someone. Just being kind to the people in your house. Just being kind to the people. Your job, just being kind to the people at church. And then goodness says, upright in your heart and in your life. Whew. And then faith, trusting and relying on Christ. Meekness is humility and mildness. Temperance is self-control. Gets a little deep with temper and self-control. The ability to master your desires, passions, and sensual appetites. And I have a side note. If you don't master them, they will master you. Just one of these is enough to keep us busy for the rest of our life. Family, make a note. This is what Daniel displayed, which got him promoted and elevated. This is what you and I need to display. We don't have to manipulate. We don't have to do all those other things. We just need to stay focused on what God's called us to do and live through the Holy Spirit. Also, in Proverbs, Proverbs 25 and 28, just make a note of it. Says the person that has no rule over their spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So as we talk about the self-control, let me say it again, Proverbs 25, 28. The person that has no rule over their own spirit, it says their own spirit. You don't need to try and control somebody else's spirit. You need to control your own. Who's that? Dominique, put it up there. Proverbs 25, 28, so they can see you got to control your own spirit. Pastor has to control his own spirit. We don't have to get in each other's business. We pray for one another. But you got enough. We got enough issues trying to control our own spirit. Somebody say amen. Is that what it says? He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. And that is self-control. So think about it, family. Let's do a mental application, a mind map. It says if you wouldn't open, not only open, but unlock and open the doors and windows to your house. How many of you did that last night? You opened up the doors and windows and you went to bed. That's what it's saying. Any and everything can come in your house. But if you have no self-control, then it's saying that any and everything will come into your spirit. If we wouldn't do it in the natural, open our doors and windows and go and lay down, why do we do it in the spiritual? And just let anything go. All right, I got a couple more read this, then I'm going to move on. We'll get back to Daniel. So the fruit of the Spirit, fruit is singular. It's what you and I should be made of from the inside out. Notice it's from the inside out, not the outside in. I already talked about it's not denial, it's connection to God. We don't judge each other, but we are to inspect their fruit. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. In Matthew 7, 16 through 20, Jesus said, you can tell people by what they do. Their fruit is their actions, their work, their deed, their conversation, their lifestyle. It doesn't take rocket science to find out what somebody's about. And the word know, it says you will find out. In the Greek, it says to find out, to ascertain, to discern, to become well acquainted with. To perceive who a person really is, to understand and to recognize them by their actions. So we're not to judge, but we should be inspecting other, be fruit inspectors. So I got a note for my young ladies. Young ladies, before you call yourself falling in love or giving some guy your heart, you better inspect their fruit. At least for a year, or you will be sorry. Amen. You don't have to take it from pastor. Ask some of the other ladies, because I'm a man, so I don't know what I'm talking about. Ask some of the other older ladies for confirmation on that. Amen. And the same thing for the young men. Amen. The other young men. You better observe their actions, deeds, and conversation for at least an entire year before you say anything about a boyfriend or I'm in love or anything like that. You know, in the sports, we say, and my sports fans out there, we say the numbers don't lie. The word says the fruit don't lie. Fruit don't lie. Don't take a rocket science to figure out what's going on with somebody. So I have this side note right here. It says, why do we do the most unpractical and nonsensical things in the spirit realm and we would never do them in the physical realm? You might sleep with your window ajar, but you didn't just open it and then open the front door and the back door and all the other windows and just leave them open last night. I mean, we're not even talking about people. We're talking about critters coming in. Amen. And y'all know we didn't have enough critters in our life. Somebody say amen. Amen. We didn't have enough critters in our life. Close the door, lock everything. But if you don't guard your spirit like that, then anything comes in. All right, let's go back briefly, Dominique, to Galatians 5:22. let's look at 24. Because we read 23. Let me go over the fruit again. Because we hear this, but family, we have to apply this. I'm telling you, as I'm speaking with you all, as I'm studying this, I'm checking myself constantly because I have to. Because we have to. This is our standard. This is what gets God's attention when we're living according to His Holy Spirit that's in us, when we allow the Holy Spirit to operate. Verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified, have extinguished the flesh with the affections and the lust. So it says we've crucified it. We've put the fire out. It has no power over us. And the affections are the emotions and the lust are the desires and the cravings. Wow. at least if you can't say amen, say ouch or something. I don't know. Y'all can't just let that slide. Y'all can't let that one slide. And they that are Christ have gotten rid of, we've extinguished the flesh, which is our animal nature. Now, all that anger, it's mentioned all in verses 9. We've done that before. We're not going to go through the witchcraft and the hatred and the envy and the jealousy. We've extinguished that with the emotions and the cravings. So make a note, we can't live by emotion. And cravings. We can't live by that. We might get out of character every now, but you can't live by that. It's a bad day. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let it be a lifestyle, family. Remember, we've always talked about living at the highest level. We're being challenged to live at the highest level. of spiritual maturity. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, which we see take place in Daniel. So let's go on back to Daniel. Before we go there, let me pause. Let's go to, since we're in the New Testament, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, and look at verse 18, Dominique. So I just want to add a little bit, just a little commentary for my sipping saints. So we're clear on that too. And for the youth, we have, I know next year we have Aaliyah and Giselle. What grade are you now? 10th grade? So we have Aaliyah and JL going off to college. And it's on a college campus. I don't know if y'all going to be excited after I finish with this. But, oh, and also Amaya, right? And mine's going off to college, too. Amen. So, yeah, all right, let's land. So I was on a college campus Friday, and we were taking students on a tour from Long Beach Jordan High School. Yep. You didn't make it, Lee. I don't know why you didn't make it. Actually, I do, but I ain't going to say it in front of church. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. So we took a group of students, and so I wanted them to show the apartment, so I caught the realness. So I called somebody coming out of the apartment and said, hey, look, I got about 20 students. I want to take them and let them see what's happening in the apartment. Do we need to clean up? Man, be yourself. Don't worry about cleaning up. You know it was a mess. They got the table in the middle. They got the beer pong right there, all that kind of stuff. Professor Carter, they playing beer pong. They were getting down right now. Hey, that's what happens in college. That's where you're going to be at next year. Leah, JL, Maya, y'all going to be right there. Playing ping pong or beer pong? I don't know. It's your choice. But look what the word says. In Ephesians 5 and 18, it says, don't be drunk with wine, where it's in excess. Don't overdo it, but be filled with the what?
Spirit.
You know, be out there drinking. It didn't say not to drink. It said don't drink to be drunk, but most of us don't know our limit. Don't drink to where where the Holy Spirit doesn't control you. You so drunk, the wine's controlling you, or the Hennessy's controlling you, or the 40 ounces controlling you. I don't know what your drink of choice is. I don't know. And anybody want to share their? Okay, their drink of choice. We'll talk after service. Come up to me after service. You can share. Because look at verse 19. Look how it just goes together. It says, don't be filled with wine, because when you're drunk, verse 19, you can't speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You don't do that when you're drunk. You don't want nobody coming around talking about the Lord, because it's going to mess up your high. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm just trying to keep it real. And look at verse 20. It says, and giving thanks always. You can't do that when you're drunk. For all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you faded, you're not trying to do all that. So I say, don't get that stuff in you where you can't recognize who your God is and who the Holy Spirit is in you and how you're supposed to conduct yourself. And then submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, in the fear of God. You can't humble yourself. Matter of fact, nobody can tell you what to do. I do what I want to do. I'm good. That's a rebellious spirit, not a Holy Spirit. So I got some read this. Let's see. We know that you can stress out the Holy Spirit. That's in Ephesians 4:30. If you want to take a quick look, it says don't stress out the Spirit. You can stress it out. we should be filled with the Spirit, says you can't do verses 19 through 21 when you are impaired, faded, drunk, high, or intoxicated. You can lie to yourself, but your fruit don't lie. When you are high and drunk, you don't want to submit to nothing or nobody. You don't want to hear about God because it's going to mess up your high. All right, I got it written down, so I had to read it again. So we're to be filled with the Spirit. All right, now let's finish this up. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. So we see why Daniel was preferred among all the other leaders, because he was filled with the Spirit. Remember in Daniel chapter, I believe it's verse chapter 1, he didn't touch the wine. He said, I'm not drinking the king's wine. I'm not eating the king's meat. I'm not going to be influenced by the king. I'm staying connected to God. You take a stand for God in your youth or where you are right now, God will elevate you to stand out for his glory. Not to self-promote us, but for us to give the glory to God. So Daniel's acknowledged by God. Daniel's elevated by God. And then we pick it up in verse 4, and then here come the haters. So make a note. That's what haters do. They hate. And I was trying to figure this whole thing out, but I said they hated on Moses, wanted to kill him because he took a stand for God. They hated on Jesus and did kill him because he was God. So why wouldn't they hate on Daniel? So why wouldn't they hate on you? Youth, you can't be that popular when you're taking a stand for God. They're not going to really like you that much. But God's going to elevate you. God's going to elevate you. But it's not a popularity contest in Christ. It's a blessed place to be. It's a great place to be. But you got to realize that if you got to sell yourself out to fit in with a group, then you got to find a new set of friends. If you and I, if we got to operate other with something other than the Holy Spirit to fit in with somebody, that's not just a youth, then we got to find a whole new set of friends. Amen. A whole new crew to hang out with. If every time I'm with them, I got to compromise, I got to quench the Spirit, I can't flow with God, then, and that's perfect for you all that's going off to college. You got to know, you're going to be there, they're going to be doing all kind of stuff. And then you got to operate according to the Holy Spirit. And believe it or not, there's other students on the college campus that want to operate according to the Holy Spirit, too. You just have to find them. Go to that Bible study on the college campus. All I can say for the youth, whatever you're looking for, you're going to find it. That's whatever you're looking for, you're going to find it. I've been teaching at the college level for 20 years. Whatever you're looking for, you're going to find it. Those that's walking with God, those that's doing whatever. So it's really up to, it's really the choice. So I thank God for Brandy and Raymond teaching the youth. When the youth leave here, if they do their own thing, it's because they want to do their own thing, not because they didn't know. Not because they didn't know. And I make sure of it, too. I've met with them for the last, five, 6 years on the fourth Sunday of each month. In the morning. They can see me 10 years from now and say, Pastor, how you doing? I'm doing good. How you doing? Well, Pastor, I'm doing my own thing. But at least I do know better, Pastor. I know you do. I know you do. You can do your own thing. That's okay. But you know better. Not because you didn't get taught everything. Because we have to talk about everything. Because we know they're talking about everything in those schools. And several of us in here, we work on school campuses. We know what's going on an elementary, middle, and high school level. So we're not going to come in here and play games. Our kids will know. They're going to do what they want to do, but they will know. It won't be because of lack of knowledge of God's word and what the word of God says. So here we pick it up in verse 4. And look at, you got the titles. You got presidents and princes. So make a note, a title doesn't make you anything. It doesn't make you smarter. You can have a title and have a dead spirit. Amen. And family, we can't be impressed with those that have titles if they don't have the Spirit of God. We know that they are truly the living dead, and that's based on Ephesians chapter 2. Not impressed with titles. I walk into a room and this is so-and-so, that's okay. I'm not impressed with the title. And family, we've been around a long time, gosh. We've been around a long time. We've been in all kinds of industries. We got music industry, we got the entertainment, we've been around. And we know how dead those places are. And folks got titles. I'm not impressed with a title, because I know if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not living for God, your life is jacked up. Even if it looks like you got it going on, I know you don't. Because we've been there and we've done that. Got the scars to prove it. So don't get impressed with titles. God's impressed with you being filled with the Spirit. God's going to elevate you at the right time. See, this is the word we have to believe. This is what we have to stand on. We're working on it. Remember, God, we love you. Help us to trust you. God, we know we love you, but help us to trust you. Help us to get that relationship right where we can trust God and know it. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit, faith. It means trusting in Christ. And we're working on that. In our giving, in our lifestyle, in every aspect of it. We already talked about how abnormal that relationship is. People do it every day. They love people. Couples do it every day. I love you, but I don't trust you. And expect us to be like, oh, seriously? Okay, and how's the relationship? It's jacked up, I know. Because you can't love somebody and not trust them. I mean, you can, but it's an abnormal relationship. And youth, I'm telling you, if you get to the point where your parents can't trust you, they love you, but that relationship is jacked up. Somebody say amen. Amen. I love my kids to death, but if I can't trust them, then it's just certain things we're not going to do. Because I don't trust you. And God is saying the same thing. You can love me, but if you don't trust me, your life can only go so far. Your life can only go so far because you don't trust God. It can't elevate to another level. Right here is a perfect example. Verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find a reason against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find occasion. They could not find a reason or a fault, for as much he was faithful. Underline faithful, which means he trusted God. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any reason or a charge against him, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. We have to make up something where he can't worship God, and that's the only way we're going to get him caught up. Family, so listen, they got titles. It means nothing because they got dead spirits. They're all in leadership. Why are they hating on Daniel? Why don't you just do your job? You all been at a job when the boss is just, dude, just do your job. Why are you hauling my, just do. But that's how haters are. They're messy. And just like Daniel, family, I'm going to say it again. He didn't start squabbing with him. He didn't square up. He didn't start complaining and fussing and fighting. He trusted God. I'm telling you, that's where we have to take our relationship to. Because when we get into the flesh and start acting according to our animal nature, then we're going to mess it up. And now we caught up. And God can repair, but that's not the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I got this. Titles don't make you something or someone. The Holy Spirit of God. Oh, here's the revelation. The Holy Spirit of God gives you life and purpose. Or put it this way, the Holy Spirit gives your life a purpose. When you don't have the Prince of Peace in your heart, you will walk around complaining, jealous, and envious of others. You can appear to have everything, and in the inside, you're dead and empty because you don't have the Holy Spirit of God. So I have to write this down so I won't forget, because I want to give it to you just like God gives it to me when I'm studying. It says, youth, beware of what you see on social media. It's a mirage. It's a lie. It's a bunch of empty, dead people that need the Holy Spirit of God to change their life from the inside out. Beware of that foolishness. It's not real. It's airbrush. The women don't really look like that. It's fake. They're made up of all kind of, what is that, cellulite? I don't know. Something that ain't real. Dead inside. The guys are talking about all the stuff they're doing. They ain't doing nothing but going home and being dead inside. We were on the trip. I told you we were on the trip Friday. So I'm talking to this young man and I teach out at Loyola Marymount. So it was a beautiful day, beautiful campus. We're out there. And Tanya, you've been out there with us before. It was just beautiful Friday. And Michael Jackson's son, Prince, goes there. And so I was talking to one of the young men. I said, yeah, you know, Michael Jackson's son goes here, Prince. He's like, man, why, what would he go to school for? If I was Michael, I'd be in a mansion just sitting around. I said, man, that stuff gets old. With a dead spirit sitting in a bit empty house. That is, man, they don't understand that stuff. It doesn't bring you happiness. It doesn't bring you anything. The dude's trying to get educated, trying to meet some people. Hopefully he gets saved. Amen. You can sit around in a mansion all day. Ain't nothing but four walls. I'd rather be in the church with the Spirit of God, with God's people. I'm telling you, youth don't get fooled by that stuff. And talk to some of us that's been there. Pull us to the side. We'll tell you. It says, keep in mind, while you're being envious and jealous of others, your problem is not with people. Your problem is really with God. Because you refuse to humble yourself and be led by the Holy Spirit of God. You're controlled by your sinful flesh, and that's always a problem. Dang, Pastor, I know. I just got to tell you how it is. And we're recording this, so it'll be up on the website in a couple of weeks. Go listen to it again. So you can remind yourself of who you are. Because the Holy Spirit was in Daniel, they couldn't find any fault in him. Daniel operated with character, integrity, love, humility, and all the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about how it's not the first time they hated on Moses. They killed Christ. Don't expect people to like you. I know it's important to have friends and to be liked, but if you have to sell yourself out to fit into a certain crowd, then you do need a new set of friends. You shouldn't have, youth, you shouldn't have to sell yourself out to fit in. You should. Family, we shouldn't have to sell ourselves out to fit in. Okay, so where are we at? Verse 5, we've got to find something concerning his God. Verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together. That word assembled is in the Hebrew. A lot of this is in Aramaic, too. It means a mob. They became a mob. And they went to the king, said unto the king, King Darius, live forever. So they came, pat him on the back, tried to pump his head up. Be careful who's trying to pump your head up, family. Bless you. Be careful who's trying to tell you the man, you the woman. You should be in charge of everything. You should really be running this job. Be careful. Be careful. Bless you. Be careful who's trying to manipulate you. Pray for discernment. Remember, people come into your life for two reasons: to push you closer to God, to take you further away. Be careful. All of a sudden, they want to be on your side. They want to be on your team. They want to pump you up. They want you to start making decisions. They want to put you out front. Be careful. And look, they start off with a lie in verse 7. All the presidents, that's a lie because Daniel wasn't included. Be careful of absolutes. All and never and you and this and that. Be careful. Where did I write? I wrote that down. What did I say about that? Says, be careful, be discerning when the titles are patting you on the back. Be careful when those titles are patting you on the back. Let's see. I wrote it down. I didn't want to forget. Be careful. Oh, the ultimate peer pressure.
When they're telling you in absolutes, oh, you can't tell nobody. Be careful when they come to you like that. You can't get put off the hood. Never. This is for life. You have to promise me. Don't tell nobody. You got to promise me. Be careful for those coming to you. If you love me, you'll do it. Be careful. Be careful, youth. Youth, don't let people back you in a corner trying to force you to do something. I don't care how many of them it is. This is the ultimate in peer pressure. And the king, he doesn't have enough discernment to see that he's being played. Verse 7, all the presence of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, titles don't make you anything. They can actually make you stupid, especially if you run it with the wrong crowd. That's why God tells us to pray for all those in authority, whether it's the senators, or the House of Representatives, the legislature. Pray for them because they can become stupid and be so far off track. And God's called us to pray. All the presidents, of the kingdom, the governors, the captains, consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall pray to God or any man for 30 days except for you, king, he shall be cast into the lion's den. Are you serious? But then here's the question. Family, we have to ask ourselves. If they made a law where we couldn't pray for 30 days, would any of us miss it? Are you praying? I don't pray anyway. That don't bother, man. I ain't gonna have no effect on my life. I don't pray. I might pray once, twice a year when I'm in trouble. So this law has no effect on me. I'm good. Youth, would it matter if they told you couldn't pray for 30 days to God, to the true and living God? You ain't got an answer. Church, would it matter?
Yes.
Isn't that something? You talk about a satanic attack. You can't pray only to the king. And the king, you guys can't worship anybody but me for 30 days. Are you serious? That don't even sound right. But when you're not discerning, if you don't stand for something, what they say, you'll fall for anything. Can't pray, you can't ask God anything. Nobody can for 30 days. Verse 8, now king established a decree and signed the writing that it can't be changed according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which are, it can never, when you sign it according to the law, the Medes and the Persians can't be changed. Look at verse 9, he signed the decree. Ultimate in peer pressure. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew it. Daniel was aware of it. Daniel certified it. That the writing was signed. He went to his house, and his windows being open. Daniel opened his windows. You talk about family. I mean, that's the ultimate trust in God. When they were thrown into the fire, they told him, man, we're not going to bow down to this golden image. If God doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down. That's trust right there. If God doesn't deliver me out of this, I'm still going to trust him. If I get fired from my job, I'm still going to trust God before I take a dishonest dollar. God help us. I mean, I don't know. As I study this, family, I got to examine myself, and trust me, I struggle with this. Right? I mean, this is the ultimate. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house. Windows were open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He knelt down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. and gave thanks. Are you serious? You get ready. You know that you're getting ready to die, and you can pray and give thanks. Family, please underline that. Because it's what he's always done. Verse 11, it says, then these men assembled and found Daniel. Look, here comes the mob. The mob came, found Daniel praying, making supplication. Underline supplication. Supplication is petition. Look what it means in the Hebrew. Begging God for favor. You're getting ready to get laid off. Everything's falling apart. You go. You don't start cussing and fussing and fighting and manipulating. You go and you beg God for favor. And it means like right now, that word supplication means he's begging for God for right now in this situation. Not a general prayer, but God, for right now, give me some favor. It says pray, begging God for favor, begging God to show mercy in this situation. That's exactly what it means. Oh, I love that. Family, make a note of this scripture. When you're having your toughest times in life and you don't know what to do, go to Daniel 6:11. You pray and you beg God for favor and mercy in this situation. God, I know it's a lot of stuff going on, but I need you for this situation right now. And what does it mean? It means that we must have a life that's connected to Christ daily, regardless of what's going on around us. From the youth to the most seasoned saint in here, you cannot live a disconnected life from God and then die and expect to be automatically connected to God. It doesn't work that way. Let me say that again. Because the world has this foolishness when somebody die, rest in heaven, rest in peace and all that. Let me say this again from the word of God, not from pastor, but from the word of God. You cannot live a life disconnected from God and then die and expect to be automatically connected to God. It doesn't work that way. If you don't live with the Holy Spirit and the Prince of Peace in your heart, you will die. You will not die and rest in peace. You will not be resting in paradise. Youth, don't let the world lie to you. If you're not connected to Christ, you're not in a better place. The homie's in a better place. No, he's not. If he wasn't connected to Christ, he's not. And coming from the church, we got to stop the lies. Amen. The toughest thing for me as a pastor is when I have to do a funeral of someone who's in a gang and all that, and they want me to come. I tell them all I know is Christ. I can't sugarcoat it because there's too many that's still living. We might have lost one, but I can't let the other ones not hear the gospel. I can't. We got to stop the lies. Amen. And you got to make it plain. If you don't have Christ in your heart, you're not on your way to heaven. Don't be deceived. The world is filled with lies and deceptions. I'm going to go with the Bible on this one. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe that. Okay, you take your chance. I'm going with the Bible on this one. And remember, I'm waiting for them to tell me they're smarter than the Bible. So you smarter than the Bible? They'll say it. Just let me hear you. The arrogance. You smart. So you're 18 and you're smarter than the Bible? Okay, I'm good. Youth, don't be fooled. All right, so here we go. Here's a revelation I want to give you. While the haters were watching, you see they're watching Daniel. How did they know he prayed three times a day? Because they watched him. Because that's what haters do. They know you go to church. They know you're trying to keep your life together. So they're watching you. But listen, write this revelation down. While the haters are watching, God is working. Don't worry about them. While the haters are watching you, God is working on your behalf. While the haters are watching, God is working. Don't worry about those people on your job. Stay connected to Christ. Petition, pray, and trust God. Youth, if you take a stand for God, God will allow you to stand out so God can receive the glory. Last note I'm going to make, and then we're going to pray and get out of here. It's for my youth. Youth, stop taking a stand for foolishness. Start taking a stand for righteousness daily. I'm asked to, Brother Ivy, would you come up too for the praise, ask my praise team to come back up, and Sister Brandy, Sister Vonnie. Chris, can you move this, please, sir?